Hatfield at top volume around the clock. I will be explaining why noise blight is ever growing, and arguing that we should pay attention to the fact, because after all, you can't close your ears.
The Essay, The Sound and the Fury, weeknights this week on BBC Radio 3 at 10:45.
So the first of those tomorrow night. We're back to tonight. It's 11 o'clock. Time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. The Beatles ushering us into another bumper-packed edition of the show. And stay tuned to hear some classic Lennon-McCartney reimagined by pianist Brett Meldow from a brand new 7-CD box set on Nonesuch Records. Also on today's show, an interview with American sax giant Chris Potter.
I remember talking to Ornette Coleman years ago, and that was what he loved about the saxophone, is it's a voice. It's like a human voice.
As well as that interview, there'll be a chance to hear Chris performing in the company of piano legend McCoy Tyner. Stay tuned to hear that special concert set later on in the show. Award-winning American trumpeter Dave Douglas has an impressive 30 recordings under his belt, and his last outing, A Single Sky, was surprisingly his first foray into big band jazz. Soon to be artist in residence at the Royal Academy of Music in London, let's hear him with the impressive Frankfurt Radio Big Band playing a track from that album, and it's this, Tree and Shrub. Dave Douglas with the Frankfurt Radio Big Band and Tree and Shrub, taken from his last recording on the Greenleaf music label called A Single Sky. And Jazz Lineup talked to Dave Douglas a few days ago, and here's his thoughts about his forthcoming residency.
It's going to be great to be in London for a week. The first time I spent a week in London was in 1987 with the Horace Silver Sextet playing at Ronnie Scott's. I was back again with Vincent Herring in probably 1989. And since that time, I've come in and out to do single concerts, but I haven't really, settled in and had a chance to really dig in with some musicians. So to be doing this at the Royal Academy is very exciting for me. We'll be working closely on music, not only my music, but their original music that I'm going to be exhorting them to compose in the course of the week. I'll give an open master class where I'll listen to them playing their pieces and talk about how one might consider improving both the performance and the composition. And then the Royal Conservatory big band directed by Nick Smart is going to be playing my big band music, and I'll be soloing and directing the band a little bit. So it'll be quite a bit of fun and very inspiring to be involved in a program that has so much inspiration from Kenny Wheeler, one of my heroes.
Well, if you want to catch any of those public events, they are on Wednesday, January the 25th in Duke's Hall, and that's a public masterclass. And the next day, Thursday the 26th, at Duke's Hall again at 7:30 this time for a gala concert with the Academy Big Band. We wish Dave Douglas all the best in his residency. Grammy-winning singer-bassist Esperanza Spalding is soon to release a companion rather than a sequel to her much-acclaimed previous release, Chamber Music Society, which topped jazz charts around the world. Entitled Radio Music Society, this is her most diverse and ambitious project to date, with an accompanying DVD to the CD of 12 conceptual music videos. Special guest musicians on the new recording range from hip-hop legend Q-Tip to jazz greats such as Joe Lovano, who's a regular in her band, Jack DeJohnette, Billy Hart and Terry Lynn Carrington. Here's the opening track, which I think is sensational, Radio Song.
Traffic won't speed up, so you turn the radio on. But it's the same old stuff that just makes you young. Well, somehow he feels it in the DJ at the station. Sends sweet salvation when he starts to play this song. Now you can't to make you feel better and to love song. Now that's how we know that the love song can sing.
Michaels comes in again. Paper in hand, you can't help moving while you're listening. Your skin starts bristling. Here comes the part you know.
Radio song from Radio Music Society, the new Esperanza Spalding CD, which will be out on March the 19th on the Decca record label. And that recording comes with a DVD of 12 videos to accompany the music. Well, stay tuned for a Beatles classic reimagined in a jazz setting and concert music from McCoy Tyner, plus an interview with sax giant Chris Potter. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3 on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, we heard Dave Douglas earlier with Tree and Shrub. Well, now it's time to take a musical walk in the meadow, who are John Taylor on piano, Thomas Stronen on drums, and Tor Blomberg on saxophone. Taken from their CD Blissful Ignorance, this is a composition by Thomas Stronen called Will.
Thank you.
That was the track Will, played by Meadow, John Taylor on piano, Tor Bromberg on saxophone, and Thomas Stronen, who composed the piece, on drums. That CD is called Blissful Ignorance and is out on Edition Records. Pianist Brett Meldahl, bassist Larry Grenadier, and drummer Georges Rossi, for me, made up one of the most significant new piano-led trios of the 1990s. They were at the forefront of a generation of musicians who wanted to explore and combine traditional values with improvisation and exploration. The five Art of the Trio recordings became instant classics, and Brad included pop songs by artists such as Nick Drake, Paul Simon, Oasis, and Radiohead in his repertoire. Let's listen to his reworking of The Beatles' Blackbird.
Thank you.
From The Art of the Trio, Volume 1, that was Brad Meldow on piano, Larry Grenadier on bass, and Georges Rossi on drums, playing a groovy and bluesy Blackbird by Lennon and McCartney. The new 7-CD box set is available now and features the recordings of the trio from 1996 to 2001, including some previously unreleased live material recorded at the Village Vanguard in New York. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. When sax giant Chris Potter was in town last year for the London Jazz Festival, journalist and Jazz Lineup presenter Kevin Legendre interviewed him prior to his performance with the iconic jazz pianist McCoy Tyner. That was part of the celebrations for Impulse Records' 50th anniversary. The conversation was part of the festival's Hear Me Talkin' To You strand and took place at London's Barbican Centre.
Thank you.
Chris, we know you as a great solo artist who's been recording since the early 90s. You've released albums like Pure, Sundiata, Gratitude, Song for Anyone. You are appearing in this very specific context as part of a group which features McCoy Tyner and his trio and Jose James. So you're really engaging with jazz history in earnest here.
Oh yeah, it really does feel like a part of history that now I see some connections. You know, I'm able to feel some things that I could hear on records, but I somehow understand it more now actually engaging with the person who was there, you know. It's interesting. It's hard to analyze. You can't really say how, but there is this connection that I do feel with that music that I think I'm understanding in a new way somehow.
How long does a project like this, which is very specific, how long does it take in terms of planning, rehearsals, getting to know the musicians, really getting a grasp of the material?
In this case, very, very little. You know, we had one rehearsal in New York for about an hour and a half.
And, no pressure then.
and
then the gig?
And then we flew to California and did the first gig like a couple days later. Yeah, and that's about it. And sound checks, extremely short. You know, he doesn't want to rehearse. It's just like we get the sound really quick and then we're off. So, yeah, virtually none.
He's had some practice at doing this. He knows what he's
doing. Yeah, well, you know, it makes us... That's what we're hired there to do, hopefully. Figure it out in a hurry.
You said that the sax was like a surrogate voice to you because your singing voice isn't that great.
No.
but is there something in the saxophone having this vocal quality and people being, if you think about the amount of saxophonists who've explored the possibility of bending the horn towards the voice, making vocal sounds?
Yeah.
That seems to be an important thing for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing I love about it. You know, I mean, the downside is you only have one note at a time, you know? You're not able to play a chord. You're not able to be the whole orchestra. You've got one note. But there's can be so much within that note, you know, the way you shape it, the way you play it. You know, it's kind of amazing, actually. The different kinds of expression that there are. And sometimes when I listen to something that I've done, even I hear, you know, like I know what I was thinking at that time, and I realize, oh wow, I didn't know that I was approaching it that way. But you know, it's almost like psychoanalysis, isn't it? You know, like you hear, oh wow, that's what I was thinking. You know,
tell me what's because in you your can, horn.
Yeah, well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, definitely approaching the saxophone as a voice. I remember talking to Ornette Coleman years ago, and that was one of the big things that stuck with me about what he said. That same thing he said, that was what he loved about the saxophone, is it's a voice. It's like a human voice.
It's very common for most jazz musicians to talk about the importance of finding their voice and feeling that they've got a signature sound that really reflects who they are as a person. When did you feel that, or do you feel, are you still working on finding that?
That you
got
every
yours?
Night.
Yeah,
every night.
So it's an ongoing process.
Every concert I play, I find something new, some way of approaching it that maybe I hadn't quite seen in that way before. And you keep getting closer and closer, and you never get there. It's a bit frustrating in a way, but I guess if you ever got there, then you'd really be in trouble.
I was about to say, it's why you keep doing it, because
right.
you need to.
Well, yeah, and I mean, McCoy, you know, all these musicians that I know that are have been playing for so long, you know, you talk to them, you realize they're still doing that. So it's not a process that ends, you know. If it does, then you're probably not that excited about playing music anymore, because right. that's the thing, is you want to find it every night, and every night it's, you know, maybe it's going to be over there. No, it wasn't there. It moved. It's over here. You know, there's that feeling every night. Like, where am I going to catch it? Am I going to be, you know, smart enough, soulful enough, lucky enough to grab it that night? Or is it going to get away, you know?
And if you do grab it that night, then you have to think about grabbing it the next night.
Well, then you're really in trouble the next night, because you go, oh, well, I found it there. I bet it's going to be there again. Nope, it's not going to be there.
The jazz life is hard, yeah?
Man, I that's it. I quit.
Not yet. Let's listen to some of your music now. This is from an album called Traveling Mercies.
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Traveling Mercies, and this is a piece called Snake Oil. That was Snake Oil from Chris Potter's Travelling Mercies. I'm talking to Chris Potter at the London Jazz Festival on BBC Radio 3, Jazz Lineup. Chris, that is a groove track. It's mm-hmm. a funky track. Mm-hmm. I imagine that you grew up listening to a lot of soul and funk as well as jazz.
Oh,
rhythm
sure.
and blues,
yeah,
that
yeah.
whole tradition.
Yeah, definitely. That was, I mean, I kind of found that before I found jazz, you know. The blues, definitely. I don't know why, you know, when I've heard those records, you know, B.B. King and Buddy Guy and some of these guys, you know, that just really spoke to me. Trying to imagine what, you know, how. I was like a 7-year-old kid, you know, growing up, nice family, you know. But I kind of had that feeling. I've found, you know, I've tried to sometimes thought, well, maybe I should, you know, approach things from a more intellectual standpoint, but I always end up coming back to like, groove and melody and, you know, these things that that at the end of the day, that's just what I like to hear, you know. So I hope I can, you know, find a balance with these things in my music, because you don't want to, you know, the reason for playing something that's complex is if you have something that you want to express that's complex, you know. You know, we don't want to limit ourselves to easy answers or simplistic things, you know. But the other side of that is that if it can be said, you know, more simply, then it's better to say it more simply, you know. And with that kind of, you know, groove under it, then everything just has more power. And it's not, you know, groove in the funk sense. I mean, it's obviously a little different slant than the jazz tradition, but not for me, not really. I mean, I'm sure Wynton Marsalis would completely disagree with what I'm saying. But you know,
let's not worry about that.
But you know, for me, it's kind of the same. If it has that thing that you can't really put your finger on, but
the indestructible force. I think we've got time to listen to one more piece of music from you. This is from an album called "Song for Anyone."
Mm-hmm.
Where I think you're really flexing your muscles as a composer. So let's just hear a little snippet of this. It's a track called "Family Tree." That was Chris Potter's "Family Tree" from the album "Song for Anyone." Chris, this album, which I was keen to play first and foremost because it shows you as a composer more than anything. It's just, I mean, you're obviously playing saxophone on this album as well, but it's not just about Chris Potter, the saxophonist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something I always wanted to do, you know, and I never really studied composition in school or whatever, but I always wanted to write, you know, could imagine like a bigger kind of canvas. I just started writing, you know, on this album. It's flute, clarinet, bassoon, bassoon solo, and violin, viola, cello, nylon string guitar, rhythm section, you know, bass and drums. And I really learned a lot in the process of doing it about what works and what, you know, how to set up different counterpoint, how to really think counterpoint all the time, you know, that every line can be a beautiful moving line, and making sure that I approached it in that way. You know, it's funny, I mean, now just earlier this year I had a chance to write a piece for orchestra, which I never had like a full orchestra, you know, so I wrote kind of a 45-minute piece. I hope at some point I can get it recorded, but we did have a chance to perform it in Brazil. You know, it was such a it's It's an amazing feeling when you have this idea in your head, you know, this sound, and then you actually hear humans making it come to life. You know, there's nothing like that feeling. It really is great. It really is great.
Do you think that perhaps once a musician, particularly in the jazz idiom, is described, it's kind of classified as a star soloist or a great improviser, that there can be a tendency to overlook what they do as a composer, where there's so much adulation for somebody who can solo at length that I think somebody like Joe Lovano, for example, has written some great tunes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But people, they want to talk more about him as a soloist than
as a soloist. Yeah, well, I think, I mean, like when you think of Joe, you know, I mean, maybe the first thing that you think of is that sound, you know, that sound that he gets from his horn, that's very recognizable. Maybe that's why it's, you know, maybe more attention is drawn to that, just the visceral, okay, yeah, it's that. When I imagine Joe Lovano, I don't think of a particular tune he's playing. I just have kind of an oral sense of his, you know, this sound. Yeah. And it's the same with a lot of, I mean, obviously you think of Wayne Shorter. He's kind of thought of as more of a composer, but you know, him too. I mean, first thing I do, I hear that sound, you know. But a lot of times, you know, you need to write your own music to be able to convey the things that you want to say. I think that's what leads a lot of people into writing is feeling that they need, you know, if they are first and foremost kind of an improviser, you know, which I would say that I am, you know, that's what I've spent most of my time working on. But you want to have something that expresses that kind of vision, so you have to write your own music, you know, to make it happen. And in a case like this, or with the orchestral piece, you know, the thing, then you do try and find another side of that vision that doesn't need even the sound of the, you know, the instrument, mm-hmm. To convey it. But that, you know, maybe, I mean, this is something that's on an amazingly high level. Is, I mean, somehow on Miles Davis's records, he didn't write the tune, and he's not even playing, and it still sounds like Miles' band, you know? I mean, how do you do that?
That's why there's only one Miles Davis.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of at an extremely high level, you know, like having a strong enough musical vision that you don't even have to be playing for it to be expressed, you know?
By proxy. Fantastic. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Good.
Amazing insights from one of the masters of the saxophone, and our thanks to Kevin Legendre. Well, it's time now for edited highlights of tonight's very special concert set, recorded at the 2011 London Jazz Festival on Saturday the 12th of November at the Barbican, featuring the giant McCoy Tyner on piano, Gerald Cannon on bass, Joe Farnsworth on drums, Chris Potter, of course, on the saxophone, and special guest vocalist Jose James. The band open up with McCoy Tyner's composition, Fly With The Wind, followed by You Are Too Beautiful, featuring guest vocalist Jose James, and they finish with In A Mellow Tone.
Thank you. You are too beautiful, my dear, to be true. And I am a fool for beauty. Fooled by your feeling that because I had found you, I could have bound you too. You are too beautiful for one man alone, for one lucky fool to be with. When there are other men with eyes of their own to see. Not stand sharing. Now, if one really cares, have you been comparing my every kiss with theirs? If on the other hand I'm faithful to you, it's not from a sense of duty. You, oh, you are too beautiful, and I am a fool for beauty. Does not stand sharing, not if one really cares. have you been comparing my every kiss with theirs? If on the other hand I'm faithful to you, it's not from a sense of duty. You are too beautiful, and I am a fool for beauty. You are so beautiful, sister. You are so beautiful, and I'm a fool.
Thank you.
Duke Ellington's In a Mellow Tone, and before that you heard You Are Too Beautiful, and then Fly With the Wind to start the set, and that was McCoy Tyner on piano, Gerald Cannon on bass, Joe Farnsworth playing the drums, Chris Potter was on the saxophone, and the vocalist was their special guest, Jose James. That was recorded at 2011's London Jazz Festival on Saturday the 12th of November from the Barbican. We're next something from acclaimed singer-saxophonist Curtis Stigers, who has a release due out on March the 26th called Let's Go Out Tonight. Well, for the first time, Curtis has collaborated with a producer, and who better to choose than the brilliant Larry Klein, who's famed for his work with Joni Mitchell, amongst others. As ever, blurring the boundaries between jazz, blues, pop and soul, this album has really grown on me the more I've listened. But my favourite track has to be this one, Into Temptation.
You opened up your door. I couldn't believe my luck. You in your new blue dress, taking away my breath. The cradle is soft and warm. It couldn't do me no harm. You're showing me how to give into temptation, knowing full well the earth will rebel. Into temptation, a muddle of nervous words. Could never amount to betrayal. The sentence is all my own, and the prize is to watch it fail. As I turned to go, you looked at me for half a second of an invitation for me to go into temptation, knowing full well the earth will rebel. Into temptation, safe in the wide open arms of hell. Can go sailing in, climb down, lose yourself when you linger long into temptation, right where you belong. To get no sleep in the last slow hours of morning. Experience is cheap. I should have listened to the warning. But the cradle is soft and warm.
Into Temptation from the new album by Curtis Stigers, who's in very fine voice. And that CD is called Let's Go Out Tonight and will be available on the Decca label from March the 26th. And you can see Curtis on tour during March in the UK, so look out for those dates. While on the subject of great male jazz singers, on this week's Jamie Cullum Show over on BBC Radio 2, that's on Tuesday at 7pm, Jamie interviews Brooklyn-based singer Gregory Porter about his recent rise to fame, and he profiles his new album, Be Good. Former BBC Jazz Award winner pianist Matthew Bourne has released his first ever studio album, the first in a series of album projects to be released through the new partnership with the Leaf label. With improvisation central to Bourne's career, this hauntingly beautiful, fragile and romantic album mixes jazz and classical sensibilities to create minimalist sound paintings which are truly evocative. This is movement number 8, Juliet, featuring Matthew playing piano and cello. Matthew Bourne with movement number 8, Juliet, from his new release, Montauk Variations, which is out now on the Leaf label. Matthew will be launching this CD at London's Café Otto on February the 15th. Well, that's nearly all from us on today's show. Plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. This week, Jez presents veteran reeds player Michel Portal with his transatlantic band at the 2011 London Jazz Festival. And on next week's jazz lineup, Julian Joseph is joined by Kevin Lejeune for another Now is the Time album and an interview with Alan Shipton profiling the Smithsonian Jazz box set. To end today's show, here's something from a hard-working, very popular and uber-glamorous pianist, Zoe Rahman. Zoe gained wider public awareness when her 2006 album, Melting Pot, was nominated for a Mercury Prize. Well, here's something from her fifth and most recent CD, Kindred Spirits, and features Courtney Pine on the alto flute. It's dedicated to her grandmother, and the track's called Conversations with Nellie. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.